Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
We take you to Ukraine now, and Joseph Lindsley in our abbreviated conversation yesterday. Joe, I was wondering about Iran, and now that their focus seems to be moving to the Middle East, given their role helping Russia in the war in Ukraine, could that be good news for you there, do you think?
Well, there's certainly a lot of pieces moving around. And I think, I mean, even in the past, from last night, Kyiv, the capital here, from which I speak to you, was under a Russian attack. Really the biggest attack since the Russians attacked the Children's Hospital several weeks ago. And among the missiles that were sent to Kyiv were missiles that were made in North Korea. And after we had five missiles hit the city, the drones arrived. So first you have missile attacks shaking the entire city and waking everyone up. And then you have the drones, which are designed in Iran. So here it's a very visceral reminder of who is on what side when it comes to geostrategic maneuvering. Clearly, North Korea and Iran are friends with Russia and Hamas as well. I mean, you know, Russia has never, has been delicate in the way it's spoken about Hamas's attack upon Israel, and has met with leaders of Hamas and leaders of Iran. Have actually gone to the Kremlin. So, for Ukrainians, it's all very clear. And then this today, once again, so it was a kind of a loud night throughout Ukraine. Kharkiv City was hit this morning. We're seeing increased attacks once again upon places in the east like Kharkiv. And about 10 o'clock this morning, the Russians hit the city center, including a medical clinic. Somehow no one was killed. People were injured, but somehow no one was killed. And now, you know, it's been, you know, back in May was when Washington sort of grudgingly said, okay, Ukrainians can hit Russian missile launch points on Russian soil, but only within about a 100-kilometer band into Russia. And so Russians now have had time to adapt, and now they can, you know, these current attacks are happening from deeper within Russia. And the Ukrainians are very closely paying attention to what might or might happen with Iran and Israel. But they're seeing some familiar words. For example, the White House is urging, you know, no escalation. And I think, you know, for Ukrainians, that word doesn't, it's always a burden upon Ukraine not to escalate, and Russia continues to escalate day by day, taking the lives of Ukrainians. And even as things get kind of missed a lot, but in the ground war in Donbass, the Russians are now steadily progressing toward a small city called Pokrovsk, a city that I visited before. They're moving down the road to that city. People have to evacuate, and the Russians are not being stopped there in the east. We could call that an escalation, but no one does. And so I think with the Ukrainians there, I think we're going to watch and see whether there'll be a strong, whatever Iran does, will there be a strong response from Israel and its allies? And I think in some ways Ukrainians are feeling a little bit ignored. But then on the positive side, of course, I mean, we have the F-16s, and there are more and more. I mean, I hear people that, tell me that they've seen them or they've heard them. Sort of like this mystical presence throughout the country. And that obviously gives Ukrainians a boost. If we look at the recent hostage transfer involving Germany, the U.S., Belarus, and Russia, that's been a big topic here because the Russians who were held as political prisoners in Russia and were released into Germany, they had a press conference with the foundation of Alexei Navalny, his widow's foundation. And one of the first things they said is they wanted sanctions to be lifted on regular Russian people. This infuriated Ukrainians. They say, so Washington and Berlin work to free Russian dissidents while Ukrainians are still held captive in Russia, including Ukrainian children, have been kidnapped or taken away. Ukrainian kids taken from orphanages or from their families if they were in places like Mariupol. Many of them forced to their names have been changed and they've been adopted into Russian families. So you have children kidnapped, and then Washington and Berlin worked to free Russian political prisoners. And the first thing that these Russians say when they're free is, oh, we need to lift some sanctions on the Russian people. That has upset a lot of Ukrainians, although there are a few who say that, that there's some kind of point to that. You know, the sanctions are very tough on the Russian people, but there still are many loopholes allowing the most powerful Russians to do as they wish.
Mm-hmm.
For example, as I mentioned to you before, the Treasury Department gives waivers to 10 Russian banks to do business in the oil industry. So there's a lot of attention being paid to that, a lot of conversations about that. And I think many eyes looking toward Iran here, even as the missiles continue to rain down upon Ukrainian cities.
Interesting text from one of our listeners. Bob, I'm in Poland, about 45 minutes from the Ukraine border. Yesterday, there was a lot of helicopter activity, and a contractor's day off was canceled, and he was told to rush to the border to work it. I think something big was brewing. What do you make of that, Joe?
Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of maneuverings, and it's impossible to know. I mean, that we have had incidents in the past where Russian missiles have crossed into Polish airspace. I don't think that happened yesterday. And one of the most extraordinary stories to me, in the early days of the full-scale invasion, when the Poles they wanted to get Ukraine some weapons, and they left them in the forest over the border, and pieces of fighter jets over the border, because they had to follow international regulations. So I think one day after victory and after the war's over, we'll hear lots more about these stories, but I have no more information on that.
Well, I'm glad nobody jammed your report today, Joseph. You know,
me too.
Yeah.
That was bizarre yesterday. I probably wasn't jamming. Who knows?
Yeah. Oh, really? We'll connect with you tomorrow. Peace.
Until tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.